And we are back on the Pledge Drive, the Community of Hope Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, a programming and production manager at The Quest. And, boy, just coming down to the final 2 hours of the Pledge Drive. And we have, is that new matching money, Paula? Is that a new number? Okay, you don't have that number. Here's the deal. We've got tens of thousands of dollars in matching money that has to be used up in the next 2 hours. So make sure you're calling in and donating. We're looking for monthly pledges. If you make a monthly pledge, it'll be the first 12 months that are going to be matched dollar for dollar. So make sure you're doing that. Also, we've got some gift cards from local restaurants. If you're a new monthly pledge donor, or if you've got a current monthly pledge and you up the amount each month, then we'll get you one of those gift cards as well. So I think it's like right around $33,000 in matching funds that we have, but it's going to expire at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, or else Dave has to pay out of pocket. You don't want that. He's a good guy. He's got a family.
Yeah.
We don't want him to walk home. He lives in Buford.
Son going to college, and he'll have to drop out. We don't want that. So 470-508-1160 is the number to call. 470-508-1160 or thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app. Josh Harris is here. We can't get rid of you, can we?
I got evicted this month, so this is home base for me.
Make those pledges so Josh can pay his rent.
Please do. And we've got some amazing just legends in the studio with us today. Some people I'm huge fans of, and one person that I'm sure I'm about to be a bigger fan of. So would you guys, I'd love to have you all introduce yourselves. We have...
I'm Father Tim Hepburn, and I'm the pastor of St. Michael Catholic Church in Gainesville, Georgia.
Wonderful. And
I'm Karen Gorman, and I'm a parishioner at St. Michael Catholic Church in Gainesville.
Wow. And my pastor.
Father Luke Ballman. I'm the pastor of Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Atlanta.
Wow. It's some great parishes, some great people we have here. And before we go any further, since we have some professional Catholics in this room, would one of y'all tee us off with a prayer? Is that okay?
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I would first like to come before you, Lord, and give you thanks that you gave me the grace of conversion through Catholic media. And I want to thank you for this radio station and all the Catholic media that has such potential to touch people's hearts and lead people to you. And so we ask that you pour out your blessing upon this place, upon this station, upon this campaign to raise funds so that it can keep going. And we ask that you bless our time together with your joy, with your peace, and with your presence. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this isn't just some random pairing. I got just a teensy bit of information before it was lights, camera, action, that y'all have known each other for quite some time. Is that correct?
Yes.
How long?
I was ordained in 1993, and I was assigned first, as many new priests are, to the Cathedral of Christ the King, and that's where we all met.
Everybody on this, all three of you.
So Karen and I was not a priest yet. Karen and I were parishioners.
Yeah.
And soon after the arrival of Father Tim, our paths crossed. And it was really such a beautiful time of hope. We're talking about a community of hope.
Yeah.
At that point, I think in all three of our lives, Father Hepburn was a brand new priest. And Karen and I don't want to speak for her. I'll share my own story and let her say something. But I was coming deeper into my Catholic faith. I'm a cradle Catholic, but it was during those years at the cathedral where I really became on fire for Jesus Christ and for Catholicism. And these two amazing people were part of that journey.
Wow. And so, Father, you were a priest at the time.
I was a,
parochial
priest,
vicar.
29 years old, baby priest.
Wow. So you had some, was he kind of part of your spiritual influence at the time, I take it, Father Ballman?
So he was, I remember when I met Father Tim, we were, maybe Karen was with me, we were putting together some mailing for this evangelization event at Christ the King, and Father Tim walked into the room and introduced himself And one of us said, "Oh, so is Katharine Hepburn your mom?" And he sort of rolled his eyes and said, "No, we're not related." And I immediately thought, he's going to say to me, "Luke, I'm your father."
I didn't know.
He didn't know. But anyway, and Father expressed great enthusiasm for evangelization. He was so excited that we were involved in this effort. But he played a big influence
wow.
in helping me to discover and discern my vocation. And Karen, I don't know that I've ever told her this, but she played a big role in deepening my devotion to the Blessed Mother. So Karen was in with a group of folks who prayed the rosary regularly and invited me to join them. And our Blessed Mother, as mm-hmm. we all know, when she gets a hold of you, she doesn't let go.
Yeah, that's a game changer. You know, it's so interesting, too. So, Karen, were you involved in, was it a after Mass rosary group, or did you all meet on Tuesday nights or some night of the week and pray the rosary together? What was that rhythm like?
It was actually on Saturdays.
Okay.
There's a rosary group at the cathedral,
mm-hmm.
and we would get together on Saturdays after Saturday morning Mass and would stay and pray a rosary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's I say that because a lot of times people think, oh, I've got to be doing this super extreme thing. You know, for instance, standing outside of the Masters tournament with the billboard of, you know, some scripture verse on it, which, I mean, maybe that's what somebody's called to. That's amazing. Or going to an abortion clinic and praying outside. I've certainly done plenty of that. But I will tell you, the one thing that really moved the needle in a beautiful direction in my personal faith journey was when I showed up at a Catholic church to just pray. By the way, I'm Protestant at the time, and I'm just there to pray, and the Mass is ending, and I decide to go to this Mass the next day, and it's like they smelled the fresh Protestant scent on me, you know? And the rosary group, those sweet ladies, invited me to pray the rosary with them. And I was a little bit like, you know, what's this? However, a dear friend and 12-step mentor of mine, I've had the privilege of being sober over 16 years, and I knew he was a very faithful Catholic, and he was kind of gently catechizing me. And I would drive around the city. I know he had a rosary CD that he would play on repeat. So I had to think, well, the person I trust the most in the world, who's, you know, impacted this radical change in my life, loves the rosary, can't be that bad of a thing. And there was something about praying that first rosary that within a year and a half, that same gentleman was sponsoring me in RCIA. So you never know the impact of just joining a prayer group like that afterwards might have. And it might be the most drastic impact, you know, through a direction that God is calling you to. So that's amazing that you, you know, were present for Father Luke, and it laid some, you know, seeds that are still bearing fruit.
It was, we have, sorry. I'm sorry.
No,
sorry.
You go ahead.
We belonged to a prayer group.
Oh, I was about to say that too. Go ahead.
Jump on it. We joined a prayer group after a Life in the Spirit seminar. I'll speak for myself. It was a Life in the Spirit seminar, and I wanted more. I'm a revert.
Yeah.
And I had only been back in the church for a couple of years and was soaking up Catholicism like a sponge.
Yeah.
And if there was a talk, if there was a meeting, if there was a speaker, I was there. I was in it. I was reading it. I was showing up. I wanted all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, after the Life in the Spirit seminar, we started a prayer group. And I think that's when we really started to get to know each other pretty well.
Mm.
I think the rosary, which is a very, very powerful prayer, everybody thinks it's this very simple, you know, repetitive thing. It's really not. It's warfare. And and the Blessed Mother, when she gets a hold of you and you belong to her army, you're in. And now she's going to take you wherever she wants you to go so that you can have a closer relationship with her son.
Yeah. Amen. And Father Hepburn, I think you're about to chime in.
Well, I still give thanks to God for this time because it was a time of great renewal. It wasn't just like our little prayer groups or whatever. It was the time when Archbishop
John Francis Donahue instituted the first Eucharistic renewal.
I heard he was a heroic bishop.
Yeah, he didn't have like lots of things in his expansive vision. He just had like some that he was passionate about, like the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And also kind of our organizing friend, her name is Carrie Allen. Still, she lives up by...
She was on here.
She's awesome. Yeah, she was here this week, right?
Yeah.
And she, in fact, she's got some Bible studies that you can get on the QuestAtlanta.com and the Quest Atlanta app. Yeah.
Well, so if you haven't heard her Bible studies yet, you need to look into that. Yeah, that's an amazing resource. Well, and
she's
offers.
She's like the rock star when it comes to Bible studies, isn't she? I mean, she's...
Yeah, but even before that, she got into that after the time when we were meeting each other. But she was running Life in the Spirit seminars at the cathedral that were hundreds of people. It wasn't just these little groups. So it was a lot of people were being enlivened and by the gospel, becoming more open to the Holy Spirit, learning to pray, and lots of vocations.
And Eucharistic prayer, Eucharistic adoration. It was in this golden era. I think that's a great descriptor, Father Tim. When the cathedral began perpetual adoration. And I, if I'm not mistaken, that was the first perpetual adoration chapel in the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It was Archbishop Donahue that brought that about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've heard stories of him, by the way, like people saying of him popping in there at crazy hours to pray.
I may have shared that story with you. So I think I shared last year when I was on Quest that I was told by Carrie Allen that if you pray during the night hours, you get extra graces, special graces. And I thought, I want those special graces. So midnight to 1 a.m. from over Tuesday night into Wednesday morning.
Wow.
And there were many weeks I prayed with my fellow guardian, Ralph, and Archbishop Donahue.
He would
pop in and pray with us for an hour.
Wow. That's amazing.
And many vocations also were coming up out of that crowd to Holy Marriage.
I'm laughing. I'm looking at Karen because she got married not long after that.
When I was out in Portland, Oregon, is where I met and married my husband.
And then Kelsey Kemple. Schmidt.
Yeah, one of our friends.
She
and Sister Marianne Foggin.
We got some nuns out of the deal.
These are all people that were in our prayer group all together.
Wow.
And it was, there was a time when it just felt like we were not only on fire, but being sent. We all had this sense of being sent. And we all went in different directions, but it was all God sent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Luke became Father Luke. And as he just mentioned, Marianne became Sister Marianne. And Kelsey is the mother of 10 children.
Yeah. Wow.
And I got married, but I was called to Catholic radio, actually. I was called to go move to Portland, Oregon, and work at a Catholic radio station in Portland.
What did you do there?
I was the general manager.
Wow.
I obviously didn't give you a bio before.
Taryn, I think you have some new volunteer opportunities in your future.
We need to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. You know, this is great, too, getting to know local parishioners and clergy from the area without the Quest, we wouldn't know these stories. I mean, I love these stories, too.
They're absolutely fascinating, and I love that. We really try to have the local heartbeat, you know, front and center on the Quest because we have such a beautiful diocese, as evidenced by this conversation we're having. I mean, there's so much happening in just this one little area that y'all are unpacking, in this one little seed of time, and yet it's creating this eternal ripple effect.
Yeah.
We have these men in front of us with collars, you know, and this holy vocation right here to marriage, which also led to, it sounds like a career in Catholic radio that happened as well. I mean, there's just so many eternal ripple effects that are going down. And so we want to share those ripple effects and create more of them here at the Quest. So that's that's what we're doing. This is the Community of Hope Pledge Drive. If you want to join in and be a part, you can call 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160, or donate at thequestatlanta.com or the app.
Yeah, that number is 470-508-1160, just in case you missed it.
Oh, yeah, is it?
It's what? Only plastered all over the studio.
What is it again?
don't you have a little jingle like you could come up with? So
that would be great.
Josh, you're the musician.
Yeah, Josh.
470-508-1160.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to get something to rhyme, though. You know what I mean? Like, 470-508-1160, support Catholic radio. It's really nifty.
It's nifty. That's a good first try.
Josh, we'll work on it.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
What rhymes with 60? That's a tough one.
It is.
That's a tough one to land.
You have to go through the alphabet. You have to say A-X-T-B-X-T. A-X-T-B-X-T.
That's great. So, do you want to go down? Should we take a trip down? I think we're going to go into
our call
center.
Let's all head down to the call center here and see what we got going on.
Yeah, it's
going to
sound like the stock exchange.
It's busy, all right. We want to thank Mike and Susan for your generosity. We do appreciate that. That was a leftover from the 3 o'clock hour. In honor of Father Tim, we've got Beth from Auburn, Alabama.
All right.
Wow.
And then
long distance.
Yes, we also have Kim from Atlanta in honor of Father Luke.
Oh,
thank you very much about that.
Thanks, Beth. I just did the wedding for Beth and Steve's daughter in Chattanooga.
Whoa. So awesome.
That's not a bad place to have a wedding.
Yeah, beautiful. The Basilica of St. Peter and Paul.
Nice. Let's get out of this room. There we go.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's an intense room.
It is. There's a lot of action going on there. So,
I like the stock exchange floor.
It is. Things are going on there. Yeah.
The market's crazy right now, guys.
Pledges, donations. Yeah. It's all over the place. Gift cards. We've got 4 gift cards left for anybody who does a monthly donation, a monthly pledge. Or if you have already doing a monthly pledge and you want to up it a little more, well, we got some gift cards for you as well. So now we have $30,010 in matching funds.
We're moving on up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now but that expires at 6 o'clock. So let's get a move on here, people.
It's a Cinderella story. Actually, I guess no, that's midnight. Never mind.
So we've been sharing how we met and how that was such a special time that it ignited faith for each of us in various ways. But then 30 years have gone by since then.
Did you see this, by the way? Is this a big plot twist for all of you? Let's just say you all come together 30 years ago, and now this is where things are. Is this just like God is showing off, and I didn't think that there'd be this many surprises?
Well, it does seem like a bit of a reunion because, like, Karen went off to Portland, and so now she's back in my parish. So we're friends in the parish. So I'm the pastor of the parish. Luke went off to teach and work in Rome.
Yeah, that's
in the seminary. And then work for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Yeah.
And so we all kind of went on our own journeys. And then I'm the only one that stayed.
But Father, you also went away for a while to Detroit.
Yeah, I did. I went
for
back
your
to
degree.
Study. Yeah, why go to Rome to study when you can go to Detroit?
Were you building cars? What was happening?
No, there was an evangelization program to get a license in sacred theology and evangelization.
Oh,
at Sacred Heart Seminary there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, faith is something that is easy to theologically describe, right? It's the vision of things that we can't see with our eyes.
Yeah.
It's that hope that God is present in difficult situations. And I know for me personally, that period 30 years ago was this golden era. My faith was in some ways easy because there were miracles happening all over the place. And then I know for me, when I went to the seminary, there were periods of dryness and there were periods of doubt. And it was this golden moment that kept me grounded in my faith so that in the ups and downs over the years, I could remember that God is faithful. Yeah. You know, I in prayerfully preparing for today, I was thinking of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Saint yeah. Mother Teresa. And she is such, everyone would agree, who knew her personally or who has experienced her intercessory prayer, the power of her intercession, or maybe even has read a biography of her life, that the faith isn't always roses and, you know, it at times, I mean, it always leads us to the cross.
Yeah.
And she knew that cross so vividly in her life and yet continued to be a witness of faith and a witness of hope in the conviction she had that she shared so generously mm-hmm. with the world. And I know she's certainly one of the saints I pray to that when especially when faith is difficult for me, yeah. you know, one example, as I was the pastor of St. Augustine's in Covington, Georgia, after being a priest for a number of years, and Archbishop Gregory asked me to become the vocations director, the director of vocations. Wow. And it was so hard to leave that parish. I loved those people so much. And it was an act of faith that, all right, God, life is not, following you as a disciple of Jesus Christ is not about taking the easy road. It is about mm-hmm. trusting your providential care in the midst of what doesn't make sense in my life. And I know there are so many listeners who are thinking, oh, this sounds like it was a beautiful time for the three of you, but I'm not in one of those beautiful times. And what does that mean for me? Is God not listening to me, or do I not have faith, or can I not experience this community of hope? Maybe I'm not called to be a part of that.
Yeah, I think that will hit every Christian sometime along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of the way God does it.
Yeah, and but what I hear, and I think, especially with that Mother Teresa bio, which is a grisly and beautiful read. I mean, just to hear the level of desolation that this woman had. By the way, so interesting because that letter, or that book, is punctuated by all these handwritten or all these letters that she wrote. Which I think in some of the letters, it's like, please, she's saying, please destroy this letter. And I, you know, everybody received that like, no way, this is a relic. I am not going to destroy this letter. And to see the level of desolation, and what I'm hearing from Father Luke is so beautiful, and I'm sure that you guys can relate, is this notion, yeah, we get these consolations, but a lot of times this spiritual fortification comes through those times of darkness. Like, there's no growth in comfort and no comfort in growth. And Father brought up a beautiful point, is he could hold on to a moment and know that the consolation was real. But this moment's real too, and I've got to kind of create a balance between the two to keep moving forward. Is that, have you, in your experience with evangelism, Father, have you, you know, how do you share the faith with people who may be going through those dark moments?
Or go through those dark moments myself.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we've all been there, or there, we're there in a storm or heading towards one, most likely.
Yeah, I read Dr. Scott Hahn's book, one, it's called About Exile.
Yeah.
And just the simple truth that for more years than Israel was happy in their homeland, in the land of Israel, they were in exile.
Wow.
You know, and so how do you live when you feel far away from home? And where do you know? But that's going to happen to everybody. That's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to most Christians who have walked the walk for mm-hmm. a while. And just to realize that it's part of the process of becoming holy. But secondly, one of the things that's been astounding to me is that it in no way compromises the power of the gospel. For example, Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
I mean, it even made it more powerful.
Yeah.
That when she would go do her thing that the Lord told her to do, lives were changed. When the priest who, you look at some priest and you say, gosh, that guy's preaching like fire. But you don't know. He might be in a great darkness in his heart, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is always an invitation that when you feel like you're in exile, when you feel like you've, you know, sidelined or desolate in prayer, keep going, persevere, hope and patience. And
that's why prayers like the rosary are so powerful. I recommend the rosary so often to my parishioners and others who ask for my advice in this area, because it's as if Mary is praying the rosary and we're joining along. You know, we're entering into her prayer. We're entering into her pondering the mysteries of salvation, as St. Luke tells us in his gospel, when Mary said to Jesus at the finding of the Christ child in the temple, "Why have you done this? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety or anguish for 3 days. And he doesn't, on the surface, alleviate her concern. He says, "Well, I had to be about in my father's house." And I'm sure that wasn't the answer she wanted to hear. And yet in her immaculate, sinless self, what does St. Luke tell us she did? She pondered. She pondered all these things in her heart. And so the rosary is a way in which we can ponder with Mary those things we don't understand.
Wow. That's poignant.
My mama would have given me a spanking.
I don't think my mom would have been too happy either.
No. Said, I don't think so.
So what? Jesus didn't say so what.
Well, this is probably a good time to take a little break, stretch our legs, and we'll be back in just a little bit with Father Luke Ballman from Holy Spirit, and also Father Tim Hepburn, along with parishioner Karen Gorman from St. Michael in Gainesville. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Spring Pledge Drive on AM 1160 The Quest. Our theme is Community of Hope. After listening, if you are moved to make a pledge, please call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. Remember, the Quest is 100% listener-supported, and we rely on donations and pledges from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the pledge drive shortly. AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
I am Jay Manley, and I go to OLA in the Brookhaven area. I thoroughly enjoy your interviews and some of the Catholic issues that come up and the different perspectives that people have explaining some of the issues that arrive that y'all talk about. And I think it is just a great way to stay on top of my faith. I'm a big supporter of it. I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and everybody was Baptist and Methodist down there. So it's beautiful to be back in the section of the state where there's enough Catholics that we get some Catholic talk on the radio.
AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic radio, presents The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
Rise and shine with The Morning Quest, weekdays from 8 to 9 a.m. where we find joy in the journey.
With daily gospel reflections from your favorite local priests and theologians, saint insights from Atlanta saint scholar Chuck Persner, dynamic conversations,
and plenty of laughs to kickstart your day.
The Morning Quest.
Join us weekdays at 8 for an hour of faith and fun.
AM 1160 The Quest.
The Quest presents Eucharistic Minutes.
Have you ever heard someone say, "The Eucharist is just a symbol"? When we attend Mass, there are many symbols, but the Eucharist is not one of them. The Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. I'm Linda Scharnhorst. During this time of Eucharistic revival, I sat down with Monsignor Marin to talk about all that we experience at Mass and how it prepares us to receive our Eucharistic Lord. Monsignor, how can the Paschal candle remind us that our life is passing us by?
When we light the candle and we come in on Sunday and then we come back next Sunday, the candle is much smaller. So the candle reminds us that we have less and less time to live. Our time is passing. And of course, we can never figure out how much of the candle has burned away by looking at the light. It's burning brightly as much at halftime as it was in the beginning. And so we have a habit, an ability in our own life that even as the years go on, I still think I'm pretty young and healthy and a long time. But the candle reminds us, no, you're coming near the end. So we should be very conscious that we'll soon be taking up our citizenship in heaven, hopefully, as St. Paul told us.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
A Lenten reflection on AM 1160, The Quest.
Lent calls us to repentance through Jesus. Pope John the 23rd said,
"It was never God's will to reveal himself to mortal men without first calling them to prayer and penance. The words of the prophet Joel ring in our ears. Now, therefore, says the Lord, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning."
This Lent, seek forgiveness from the one who sacrificed for us. Confession is a good start.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The National Hockey League's Vancouver Canucks were playing the Seattle Kraken in the latter's home city. That's when incoming medical student Nadia Popovici observed a suspicious-looking mole on the neck of Brian Red Hamilton, the Canucks' assistant equipment manager. Rapping on the plexiglass partition to get his attention, Nadia held up her phone, where she had typed a message advising Brian to get this growth checked out. It was a good thing he heeded her warning, as the mole turned out to be an early sign of skin cancer. Months later, Brian and Nadia reunited at another hockey game. In gratitude for her life-saving catch, both teams presented her with a $10,000 scholarship. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
If you want to know what's going on at parishes and other events in the Atlanta Archdiocese, just go to the events calendar at thequestatlanta.com. You'll find events like these.
Join Brother Guy Consolmagno, director of the Vatican Observatory, for Exploring Faith and Science, a Jesuit's Guide to the Stars retreat at Heritage, March 28th to 30th, and learn to find God in the universe.
Register now for the annual Monsignor Reynolds Charity Challenge on May 12th, sponsored by Men of St. Bridget. Golf, pickleball, tennis, and more will raise funds for many different ministries in the Archdiocese.
There will be a special mass honoring first responders, including law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, and emergency medical personnel. It's Saturday, March 29th at 5 p.m. at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock.
For more information on these and other events, click Events at thequestatlanta.com or click Contact to get your event added to the Quest event calendar.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
RU486 is the name of the medication combination used to complete medical abortions. The first medication, Mifeprex, blocks the action of progesterone, a hormone needed to continue the pregnancy. This medication starves the baby, causing the death of the baby. The second medication is misoprostol and is taken between 12 and 48 hours later. It causes the woman to have severe cramping and bleeding and results in the expulsion of the baby at home. Did you know that between taking the first pill and the second pill, the mother can change her mind and save her baby? Visit abortionpillreversal.com to learn more. There's potential to save the baby even 72 hours after the first pill. Spread the word and help save a baby today. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Community of Hope is the theme of our spring pledge drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the pledge drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Thank you to Paul Crowder for lending your voice to our pledge drive.
And by the way, if you give $1,000, he will read you a bedtime story.
That's right.
That would be the most soothing.
You'd be out before be the story done. Was over.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, what a voice.
Yeah.
Isn't he good?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock. So yeah.
2,000, he will cover your voicemail.
Absolutely. We still have 4 gift cards left to some local restaurants if you would like to become a monthly donor to the Quest. And we also have about $30,000 left in matching funds that we have just a little over an hour to take advantage of that. That expires at 6 o'clock, so make sure we're taking advantage of that. So we're here with Josh Harris from the Morning Quest is here with us. And we also have Father Luke Ballman from Holy Spirit. We've got Father Tim Hepburn and Karen Gorman, who's a parishioner at St. Michael. Not the Archangel. So close, but St. Michael in Gainesville, absolutely. And so we learned a little something about Karen today.
Yep.
That she used to work in Catholic radio.
Yes.
How about that? What were you there?
I was the general manager at KBVM FM in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, you had an FM station, big time.
Well, I think it was one of the last FM stations in the area and was purchased by Catholic Broadcasting Northwest.
Wow. What was the frequency?
98.5.
But you've got some good insight as to Catholic radio. And, you know, like, why would you want to support Catholic radio?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. When I was in radio and did pledge drives, listener support, of course, is the bedrock. But I found that evangelization was something that I was really, really drawn to. And a lot of people are. And you can't maybe get Catholic radio, but you've got it in your area. So, for instance, the Quest, I can't pick up where I live up in North Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
I can get it on the app and I can get it on my laptop, but I can't get it on the radio because it's just a little too far out.
Staticky.
But that doesn't mean I'm not going to support Catholic radio. And the reason is because I want to evangelize and get as many people as possible to come to know Jesus Christ. I personally can't do that for 10,000 people in an hour like a Catholic radio station can.
Mm-hmm.
So I support Catholic radio even though I can't hear it. So I'm not a listener, but I'm a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, as I was saying a little earlier during the break, you give, many people give to like Food for the Poor or St. Vincent de Paul or other charitable organizations because they want to serve in those areas, but they physically can't be there to do it. I'm not on the front lines feeding the poor, but I can help financially support those organizations that are doing it, right? Which is right and just. So I kind of feel the same way about Catholic radio. Even though you may not be able to hear it all the time, you have one in your backyard, and they are programming, airing programs that touch hearts and change lives that you personally may not have an opportunity to do.
That's great.
At any time.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was even thinking with the ad that was on, one of the ads that was on before we came back, one of them was about reversing the abortion pill.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how it worked until just now when I heard that ad.
Yeah.
I'd heard that you can, but I'd never heard that if you've taken the first pill, you don't have to take the second pill and you can reverse the effect. That's really priceless, isn't it? Information to get out there on the radio.
And nobody who's selling those pills is going to tell you that.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to hear that advertisement on mainstream radio. And even yesterday for the Morning Quest, the first hour of the pledge drive, we had somebody from Pregnancy Aid Clinic, and I was on an ultrasound technician, and she said, after this, I'm heading back to Pregnancy Aid Clinic, and I'm, you know, essentially I'm dialoguing with someone, hoping, praying, talking to someone who took the abortion pill and wants it reversed. So we're scheduling and getting her into a doctor who can give her the progesterone to, you know, God willing, reverse the first pill. So, I mean, that's the kind of community that we certainly embrace mm-hmm. here on The Quest, and the kind of messages we try to get out there. And we're just so grateful to have the platform to do it. And heroic, you know, priests and parishioners like the ones in this room to help champion that message.
And Father Tim, I got to thank you. Because I know it was up there at one point. I hope it still is, because I should have checked before we went on the air. But you at one point had a link to the Quest on your parish website.
Yeah, we still do.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah. I'm glad. I should have checked before we went on, but that could have been embarrassing. But no, we'd really appreciate that. That's very cool of you. And this is the kind of thing, I think, like you say, we're teaching people about things that, you know, you as a priest didn't know, you know, about Catholic radio, about evangelizing, what the story Karen was sharing with us. And that's what we bring to the community. Yeah. So if you can help us out on our pledge drive, we would greatly appreciate it. The money will be put to good use, I promise you. 470-508-1160 is the number.
Yeah, and that's, you know, in the grace that we do get this local diocesan flair. I mean, Father Luke blessed us with some Advent reflections earlier in the year that were really moving, and it's really been cool to see how he's used new media to, you know, champion and get the word of God out there from a multitude of platforms. And it's been, by the way, those videos you produced were super well polished. I don't know if you
Thanks,
guys
Josh.
Got Martin Scorsese involved or what, but it was really good cinematic look.
I have a resource in the parish who's generous with his time and his knowledge, his expertise, and his equipment, and really helped us. And it was his brainchild that we did those videos. And we're hoping to do something for Holy Week.
Great! Because I was about to ask, is there something coming for that?
Where, you know, I'm hoping to unpack Holy Week a little bit on some more videos. So we'll see.
Where can we find these videos?
On the Holy Spirit website, hsccatl.com.
They're really great. And, you know, it's like somebody was talking about Christian movies the other day and how they've really taken just such a step up. I mean, Christian music, movies have really cranked up their production value. Praise mm-hmm. God. We were a bit behind. You know, we were a bit behind the times, I think, for a while. And another friend of mine who's a strong Christian and great comedian had a joke. He was like, you know, I'd just be relieved when I walk into a Christian movie, like, thank goodness they're using real actors, you know? and it was kind of, you know, that was the vibe I got with Father Luke. Cause, you know, I knew it was going to be a great message for Advent, but the cinematography was really great. As someone who's produced video content before, I was like, all right, we're stepping it up here big time. So it's exciting that you'll have something in the works potentially for Holy Week as well.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks.
Yeah. And Karen, I think that we were talking a little off air, and before we were in this, you know, just kind of reflection on desolation and how people move through it. And I know that you shared when you moved to Portland, it was kind of like, whoa, things were just, it was a yellow brick road and here I am now. And it's sort of a dark night moment. But how have you moved through those seasons of desolation? I know prayer is a really central part of your life. And another thing that you do is you're part of a group that prays for priests. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'd love to unpack both of those if you got a second.
Okay. Well, when I got out to Portland, I didn't feel that same warm, fuzzy consolation that I had when I was in Atlanta.
And you were in a place, by the way, that you're going to spread the faith, essentially. So you'd think
yes.
that the consolations would follow, but no.
No. So what I did was I dug in to what I knew.
Yeah.
I prayed my rosary. And I'm single at the time, so this was a little easier for me to have the prayer life that I had. As a matter of fact, I had somebody tell me that, are you a nun? I went, no, I'm not a nun. look down that road, but God went, no, not for you.
Yeah.
so I was going to Mass every day.
I would pray the rosary every day, and I spent an hour in Eucharistic adoration every day.
Whoa!
And then I worked at the radio station. And I have to tell you, if you cannot, as you know, and our priests here, Father Luke and Father Tim will tell you, you cannot do work for the Lord if you are not on your knees for a good portion of the day. Mm-hmm. It just, you can't. And you can't be in Catholic radio if you're not praying. This radio station has an adoration chapel. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You have Jesus next door. Praise the Lord. That's the thing that keeps you focused. There goes fear. You don't have to, you know, that if you're feeling any anxiety or your Catholic radio in Portland, Oregon was missionary territory. That's one of the most unchurched areas of the entire United States.
Oh, really?
To have a Catholic radio station there was phenomenal, but also hard. So you really have got to dig deep into what you know. As my life as a Catholic Christian has progressed, now that I'm back here in Atlanta or Northeast Georgia, I've embraced an apostolate called the Seven Sisters. This originally came from St. Paul, Minnesota. It has, in the last 10 years, exploded.
Really?
And in Georgia, the largest explosion. We have more priests being covered in prayer with this apostolate in Georgia than in any other state.
Oh, my.
So what it's about, real quickly, is seven women agree to pray for a priest, one priest. They is Eucharistic in nature, excuse me. So you pray your holy hour for a priest, and each sister has a day. So this priest is covered with a holy hour of prayer every single day.
Oh, my.
So I started it in McKinney, Texas. And when we moved here, I started it in Gainesville. And you start with your pastor first. Then if you get more sisters, you can add your parochial vicars. So we did start with Father Tim first. And there are seven women. And each of us has a day. You pray a holy hour in a church. You must be before Jesus, not necessarily exposed, but before a tabernacle, you must be in a church. Any church, any city, doesn't matter.
Wow.
For instance, the day I pray is Wednesday. I can be anywhere as long as I'm in the church and at any time. But it's a full hour completely devoted to covering your priest with prayer. And then on Thursday, it's somebody else, and on Friday, it's somebody else. And so we have seven sisters. And then we started, once we had those seven sisters in place, we added another seven our parochial vicar, Father Kung. And then we added another seven for our parochial vicar, Father Jorge. And then I started a group. I helped get a group started at St. Luke in Dahlonega. And there's already two groups praying at Christ the Redeemer in Dawsonville. And do you have a group, Father Luke?
I know that someone was talking to me about forming a group at Holy Spirit, but now that some of my parishioners are listening, keep me honest.
Yeah.
If you're doing it, let me know. I'm not sure, Karen, but maybe you can help get that going.
I can, and I would love to.
And praise God, it's Eucharistic in nature,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, that's the focus.
It's not just, hey, well, you know, pray it on your commute. I mean, we all know how much more powerful praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament is. So that's, it's like turning the cell signal between God from Boost Mobile to Verizon. Okay, we want to do that.
all prayer is good, right? We know all prayer is good, but this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Well, you pray in front of Jesus, with Jesus in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the power is.
In college, we used to say, all pizza is good, some's better than others. Now I say, all prayer is good, some's better than others.
And pizza. And
pizza.
That's right.
Hey, can I play a 15-second message that we play throughout the day here on The Quest. Check it out.
The Quest invites you to cover the bishops and priests in the Archdiocese of Atlanta in prayer. Just volunteer to commit 1 hour of prayer per week for a year. No meetings, no paperwork, no reports, just prayer. Learn more at sevensistersapostolate.org.
Oh, nice.
Look at that.
Thank you.
That is so good. I like what they said in that little ad, because I think some priests, if you say, do you want seven women to pray for you? We immediately think, oh, gosh, they're going to make me come to potlucks with them. And they're going to come up and tell me what the Lord told them about me.
Or that what I'm supposed to do.
Or what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
That never happens.
No.
And so it's just they pray for you. And it's just such a sense of strength to have that.
It's a straight up gift. It's seven women getting together to pray a holy hour on their specific day as a gift to their parish priests.
Yeah.
And priests are so, have always been under attack. Mm. But in this day and age, when some of our brother priests have given reason for others to be critical or to doubt the priesthood, it's even more powerful, because Satan is just viciously attacking the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And we need those prayers.
It's a cover. Think of it like Our Lady's mantle. You have seven women praying protection.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And I had an experience recently with someone I care about deeply, and they are going through some health challenges, and I was really hoping they would take some advice I was giving, because, you know, sometimes we roll up our sleeves and want to say we can do things by ourselves, and, you know, it's frothy emotional appeal. Like, when you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, a lot of times that doesn't necessarily move the dime. And I just, you know, threw up my arms and really just spent some time in adoration praying for them. And the next day I got a call, and it was just such an answered prayer, them taking steps to get help in a certain capacity. And I mean, it works. It works. And even when we don't think it's working, God is moving, if nothing else, to give us the grace to endure. So I'm so glad that you shared that sacrificial rhythm that you were in, especially in Portland, and how that Eucharistic prayerful emphasis is now fueling this new season and this new ministry, which is spreading. Praise. I mean, I didn't even know it was hitting the Quest airwaves. Yep. Praise God, it is.
Yep. Doing what we can, and that's what we do here at The Quest. We try to get the word out about things like that. So if that's something that you could get behind, we could use your support. Call in your pledges, your donations, 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you ever get that when you ask someone, like, hey, is there anything I can pray for you? Like, I'm good. I'm like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
There's two people in this world, people who have prayer requests and liars, okay?
Yeah, right.
I've always got a litany of prayer requests if you want to press in deep enough. But I'm so glad our priests are covered in prayer, because that's the most powerful and the greatest gift you can give somebody. Really.
Well, a testimony of the Lord to that is when he said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat,
mm-hmm.
but I have prayed for you.
Wow. Yeah, that's
the power of that prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I know I'm always, I don't know, I always feel funny asking somebody to pray for me, and I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know, it's like it seems selfish or so, you know, like I'll pray for other people, but I don't know. Are y'all looking at me? It's strange. Like, I'm in a vibe. I'm balling.
Well, I was just talking with someone very recently about this very thing, that we all want to be self-sufficient. We all want to pull ourselves up mm-hmm. by the bootstraps and get things done. And we all feel that we are dropping the ball, or that somehow we are a failure if we cannot get it right. Because that's what secular society tells us,
yeah.
is you have to be perfect. You have to look a certain way. You have to have a certain amount of mm-hmm. money. You have to realize success as the world defines it. And yet, Jesus tells us, It's when you, or it's actually St. Paul, you know, when I am weak, I am strong, because it is then that the power of Christ is in me. Jesus is the one doing the lifting. We mentioned Teresa of Calcutta, another amazing Teresa saint is the little flower, St. Teresa of Lisieux.
Oh, yeah.
And it was her littleness. It was her nothingness. It was her recognition that in this gorgeous field of flowers that is the Lord's garden, she, what did she say? She's a little daffodil, a little weed,
daisy.
A little daisy. Yeah, you know, but God tends that, tends me and cares for me. And her greatness came from recognizing her dependence upon others, especially Almighty God.
Amen. That is going out on a high note. Thank you, Father.
I think so. Yeah. Should we go one more trip down to the call center?
Sure, go for it.
Oh, wow. Lots of activity in here, man. So Janice in Dahlonega, in honor of Father Tim, Father Luke, Karen, thank you for your yes.
Oh, nice.
From Carrie in Dahlonega, in honor of my three holy friends, Father Luke, Father Tim, and Karen.
Oh, that's nice.
Also, we've got, Carrie? Oh, I already said that one. And then Karen in Urbana, Ohio.
Whoa.
In honor of Father Luke.
That would be my sister.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. Awesome. And Alice in Alpharetta, thank you so much for your generous support as well. Let's get out of this room, man. It's just crazy in there.
It is crazy.
Well, Alice might be my mom.
I mean, well, your mom's name is Alice.
Yes, her name is Alice, but she doesn't live in Alpharetta. That's what threw me.
Yeah, so it's not her then, probably.
Well, thank you, Alice and Alpharetta, whoever
you are. Thank you, Alice and Alpharetta.
We really appreciate your support.
Yes, we do. So, yeah, let's wrap it up, and we'll kick off the last hour of the pledge drive here. So you want to thank our guests?
Yeah, thank you to our amazing guests, Father Tim Hepburn, Father Luke Ballman, and Karen. This has just been so incredible, and the Three Musketeers are back.
Yes,
okay?
All for one, one for all.
Only 30 years later, but hey, you guys are coming back with a bang. This is epic. So thank you guys so much for blessing our airwaves and inspiring our listeners to really persevere in holiness, in prayer. I mean, what a beautiful message. We are so grateful for y'all.
Thank you.
Praise
God. Pleasure to be here.